Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Friday Night Home Fellowship. We want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message. And so, without any further ado, let's receive Brother G by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody, here tonight. One more time, let's give the Lord a good praise offering. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for Him, man. Oh, we could do better than that. Let's give the Lord a good hand.
Jesus!
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. First of all, I want to thank my brother Fee for inviting me and asking me to come and speak. It's been a while since I've spoke in front of a crowd. I'm a little bit nervous, but I've been bottled up and I'm ready to go. And I just want to thank the Lord, man, because I'm not even worthy to be behind this microphone right now. I think back just for a few minutes of where my life was. It's gratitude. That's why I'm broken right now. It's gratitude in my heart that but let's praise the Lord anyway. Amen. I want to get into, you know, my testimony or nothing like that. You heard a little bit. I was all messed up, and, you know, one day I came crying. I came crying to God, and praise God that there was a place that was open for us. It was a Christian ranch, and I had the opportunity to go and spend about going on 20 years now, and ever since I stepped foot in that ranch, my life hasn't been the same since. And yes, I've had my ups and downs. Yes, I've sinned here and there, like we all do. But one thing I have never done is that, and that's ever to let go of God, because, man, when I look back for 1 minute and look at my life where it was, man, I think God allows me to look back just for that moment so I can sprint back to His arms, man, because it was ugly back there. It really was. But anyway, like I said, I count it a privilege and an honor to be back here speaking. And before I read the scripture that we're going to open up with, I want to go ahead and ask everybody to just close your eyes and bow your heads, and let's open up in the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, tonight, once again, I am so grateful, Lord, that I'm able to come and share your word, Lord. I know I'm not worthy, Lord. But because of your grace and because of your mercy, Lord, and because of your forgiving power that's upon my life this day, I'm ever so grateful. And Lord, right now, Lord, I deny myself right now, oh God. I yield my life to your Holy Spirit right now. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take full control of my being right now, Lord. And the voice that they hear tonight would be yours and not mine. I pray for every hearer tonight, Lord, that these words of yours would fall on some ears that are eager to hear what thus saith the Lord. I pray that every heart would be prepared, would be fertile, Lord, to receive the seed that you have planted for them. So right now, Lord, I just ask you right now to bless your word, bless this time, and let your Holy Spirit do what it is called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not used to sitting down, but if you guys could turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And God has put this message in my heart quite some time ago. And I've personalized this message. Because I think back of where I was when I came into the knowledge of Christ. And yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This is not a popular message. This is not a message that you probably want to hear for the very first time. But it's a message that I believe that God wants me to share with you. And so I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to share it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible reads like this. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. Once again, tonight, this message, as I share this message tonight, I want everybody to take their own personal self-examination. Because only you and God know where you're really at tonight. Nobody knows about what you do behind closed doors. Nobody knows what you do when nobody else is around. Only you and God knows. So tonight, as I share tonight, I want you to just take a deep, if it hurts, let it hurt. Let it hurt, because that's the Holy Spirit pricking your heart, telling you, hey, there's something wrong with me. I need to take a closer look at myself. See what Paul was telling them, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church here at this time, and what he was really saying was, he was saying, prove it. Prove it. What do you base your Christianity and your faith on right now? Ask yourselves that question. Ask yourselves that question right now. Or some of you guys probably said, well, a while back I made a decision, you know, to follow Christ, and I said the sinner's prayer. Well, guess what? All of that doesn't mean anything today. That probably didn't sound too good, huh? The only significance, the only thing that decision that day at that time made to you was, what that was the day that you publicly announced that you were going to embark on your Christian journey with Christ. And that's all it was. And it may be significant to you, because I know my day was, and still a reminder for me. I always remember when I stepped foot in that ranch. I'll never forget. But that was just the very beginning. What then? What else? What now? What? The question is, now what do I do? Or what do you do? My notes are all twisted up, man.
It's okay.
But he says to prove it.
Yes.
Ask yourselves once again, Where is your life at today? Where is your life really at today? Okay, what I want you to do now is I want you to, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to use this, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to use this this scripture to, so we can use as a, how would I say that? We're going to use it as a scale, or as a like a measuring tool to see where we're really at with Christ. Okay. See, when I read the scripture before, I never seen what until I started really reading and started getting in depth with it, and it really started to show me what he was really trying to say. See, during this time, we're going to be talking about the Sermon on the Mount. During this time, Jesus comes on the scene, man, and the Jews, they already had their own idea of how their life was going to be. You know, they had already decided in their hearts what right living was all about. They had already built their own code. Their own code of ethics. They had already developed their own system, and they pretty much had it all laid out on what it was to be holy. But what they had was all external. Everything that they thought was right was all an outward showing. That's all it was. You know, they wanted people. They wanted to be recognized. They wanted to be seen. You know, they thought it was all about, you know, their self-righteousness. They thought it was all about good works. But guess what? Jesus came onto the scene. And Jesus came to let them know that, hey, you know what? I have a new standard of living, a new criteria which I want you guys to evaluate to see if you are truly redeemed. To see if you are really a born-again believer. To see if you are really a citizen of the kingdom. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So, when we read this scripture, you know what? Let's go ahead and start. Let's go ahead and, I'm only, because of the time, I'm only going to read like, maybe just three or four of the Beatitudes. Oh, does somebody want to read that for me?
Yes.
For the three?
Is it
Matthew 5.
Matthew 5?
Mm-hmm.
What, 3, 4, and 5?
No, I want you to go ahead and start it off.
Okay. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Amen. Okay, amen. Yeah. Okay, so when Jesus comes onto the scene here, he starts sharing here. He starts it off with blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. And blessed are those that who hunger and thirst for the word. I'm only going to be expounding on those four right there due to the time that we have. But if the whole entire Beatitudes, this whole Sermon on the Mount pertains to us today, our standard of what Christ expects from us today. Okay, the first one is Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Now, when he was mentioning that, let me see where I got this at. You gotta excuse me. I don't even know if I put them all together. I was tired, man. And
it's all right.
Wait, let me see. Okay, no, what I meant to say is, as we read these scriptures, there was going to be a word that stood out, and that word was in verse 6, where it said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Mm-hmm. That word righteousness is the key word here. That word righteousness is just a long word for living right under God's standards. Not how we see living right, not how the world sees living right, but how God sees us living right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. See, the Jews at the time, the Pharisees and the scribes at the time, they were there, and you know they wanted to look good. And you know, they came and they were, you know, dressed in these robes and, you know, real religious looking. And they wanted people to look at them and respect them just because of the way they dressed and because of the way they, you know, because they had a title, because they had a position. And so they wanted people to look at them and they wanted to be known. But Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew their hearts. And I share that to share this. You know, in our churches today, a lot of us, we go to church, you know, today. And I've been to a few churches. In the churches today, there's some people with that same mindset. They go and they're dressed. They go because they want to look good for other people. They go there because they want to be seen. They go during the week time. They're out there getting their groove on, doing their thing all during the week. But then on Sunday, when church time comes, they want everybody to see them as these holy guys going to church and acting like everything is all good. But guess what? God knows the heart. God knows your heart. God is not looking at you. God doesn't even care about all that stuff. All that robe stuff and everything, you know, God didn't even care, because if they were really real, if they were really real, they wouldn't have planned and to have Jesus crucified. And right then and there, you see that right then and there that their hearts weren't right. Let me get going because I'm nervous here.
That's all right.
Holy Spirit, man, I need you, Holy Spirit, now. But anyway, this is why I wanted to tie this in with the church today, because a lot of times, even pastors, if you go to, I've been to a few churches, and this is why I was struggling to try to find a church after I left my last church, is because all of a sudden it was all about them. And I'm started seeing, you know, Jesus all of a sudden was an afterthought. He was like, you know, they would run with the scripture, and then all of a sudden everything about testimonies, this and this and this and that. And then at the very end of the service, P.S., Jesus loves you. And that was it. And you know what? You know what the Bible says in Matthew 7? I think it's Matthew 7:13. It talks about the narrow gate.
Yes, sir.
And you think about these churches that are big, big churches, thousands of, you know, how many of them are really, really saved? How many of you think that are really saved? Because the Bible says that wide is that gate.
Yes,
it's wide. And the reason why I want to share this message, you guys, is because I don't take this lightly. And I've come to know you guys, because this is what I like about a small church. Not because I was struggling coming here, because, you know, Pastor Fee's my brother, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I might get mad one day and just drop him or something. I might remember, man, what he said, man, and just bam, and then what? But I started seeing, I started seeing the closeness here. I started seeing that, you know what, this is a good setting here. You know, people are here and we get a chance to fellowship with one another. And not only that, he's teaching the word here. It's not about him. I've had talks with him, you know, about, you know what, just let God do what he has to do. Don't even worry about who comes. If it's one person, then you preach to that one person. God will see you faithful. God will see fit. God will be the one. You just keep doing the watering and the water, and let God bring the increase. Because God knows your heart. And if God sees that he's doing what God has called him to do, then God will bring the increase. And so I'm starting to see, man, the people coming in, and I'm like, you know what, not that it's a big numbers, because you know what, I'd rather see a small group of people that are serious about the things of God. That are serious about the things of God. Not coming to church just because you want to be seen, or because, oh, he's got some good snacks, man, in that fellowship room, you know. Or, you know, none of that. But it can't be for that.
It's all culture.
You know what? I don't know about you, but I want to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And back in my day, my life, I knew how to run game. You talk about running game, I can run some game. And when I came and gave my life to the Lord, I said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of running games. God is not the one to play with. If you guys ain't tired of messing around, doing your thing, then maybe you should go out and just go mess around a little bit more. Because God is not the one to play with. And I'm telling you right now, I got saved one time, and then I backslid. And when I backslid, I remember reading, I remember clearly when I was reading it, it said, man, that seven times worse. And I go, man. You know, and I'll never forget it. And sure enough, not more than a year or two after I had backslid, my wife left me for good. I lost my job. My son got murdered. I'm living in the streets. I'm a big dope fiend. My whole life went down. It was ugly. And I know that God, man, his word is yes and amen. If he says something, it's real.
That's right.
I'm telling you today, it's for real. But see, getting back to this, look, I want you guys, I want you guys all to make it there too. I don't want us over here coming over to the church and just faking the funk. But there's a criteria here. We can't come expecting to serve God the way we want to serve God. And I see it that a lot of people in a lot of churches, they do this. They do this. They try to make God's word fit their style of living. They'll twist it to make it feel, well, you know, I can do this and do that because, well, you know what, that doesn't pertain to me. I can go ahead and still keep getting my groove on, doing my thing over here. But how many know that God knows your heart? God knows if you're serious or not. Yes, God is a merciful God. Yes, he's a loving God. But there comes a time, and I don't know where the scripture is, but I've read it where he says, you know what, after a while, enough is enough. And he will take his hand off of you for a while. And it's scary because I don't want to be at that place at that time. Because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But anyway, there's a certain criteria that God expects. Like I said, it's like this. You're either going to serve God under his terms, or you're not going to serve him at all. And that's just the bottom line. There ain't no in between. You're either going to serve him the way he wants you to serve him, or you just don't serve him at all. I don't know about you, but I want to make it to heaven.
That's right.
And so my brain is telling me, well, since you don't want to play games more, G, get it right. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. You know what you meant here in this area? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Important. Jesus, help me. Well, anyway, I can just go off the scripture because the Holy Spirit's in control here.
That's right, amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do you think he means by poor in spirit? He means, you know, this is how you come to Christ now. You can't come to Christ like you want. What he meant by poor in spirit? I'll get it. Oh. He meant coming to him with a brokenness of heart. And I'm talking about truly broken before the Lord. Not just coming up saying a sinner's prayer. Oh, I said the prayer, now what, I'm saving you. You can keep on living life the way you was living it. How many know that that's not how God intended it? No. He says, you know, you come to me, blessed are those who come to me with a broken spirit. The Bible says in, I think it's Psalm 51:17, that that God desires a broken and a contrite heart. Someone that's broken before him. I remember coming, you know, I was up there in the ranch struggling because all I ever knew, man, is if you cry, that was a sign of weakness. And so I couldn't find it to cry. And man, I was in there and I was just like, man, what am I doing in here? Then all of a sudden, man, it was like God just showed me a reel of my whole life just passed by me. And he was showing me all the people that I have hurt and all the people that have hurt me and all the bad that I had done and how merciful of God that he was, even though all that had happened, he was right there waiting to receive me. And I could vividly see it clear. And you know, I'm not one for dreams and stuff like that, but I seen it. And I said, man, so I began to weep. I mean, I began to really weep. I began to get broken and cry. And I was hurting. See, if you want God to fill you, you got to empty yourself. You got to empty yourself. And only you know what's in you. You know what you've done. You know, and the most important thing is God knows what you've done. God wants to hear it from you. He already knows what you've done. But when you come that way, you know, like, you know what? I already know he knows. I'm going to come and I'm going to show him. I'm going to show you how grateful I am, how sorry I am for what I've done. And you come that way, broken before him. Because, see, there's some people, man, who've never even been broken before. And they're walking. You see how they walk around in the church? They're walking around like everything's fine and dandy. You know what? Believe me. This is what he was trying to tell you here. Look at, you want to come and follow me? You want to come and be one of mine? You want to come and be one of the kingdom citizens? This is what you got to do first. Blessed are, you know why he said blessed? Because you will be blessed when you come to that point. It's not easy. It's not easy. That's why I'm saying, you know what? That the gate that leads you the other way is so wide because you can take all your junk with you. Take it. And you're thinking you're going somewhere, and you ain't going nowhere. But the Bible says, if you read that scripture, it says, but narrow and hard to find is the one that leads you to heaven. It's because it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to get rid of, some things that we have to cut off of us. And it's going to hurt. Because you look at it like this. I know me personally, I was 38 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. And say, going on 20 years now, I'm still down 18 years in the hole. So that's 18 more years of filth in me still. If you were to put it on the scale, all that junk is like this still. And see, people think, man, oh, just because you're clean off of drugs or whatever it is that you were on before you came to know the Lord. How many know that we have all kinds of other issues in our life? Just because you're off of dope now, how about your life as a father? How about your life as a husband or a wife? How about those things? How about your attitude? How about your pride? How about your mouth? How about the way you dress? How about the way you talk? Who you hanging with? You got your life. There has to be evidence within your life that you are truly a born again believer. You got to look at it like this. God was so merciful that he chose a no good people like us. A no good people like us. Man, to me, that's an honor. That's a privilege. I don't take this opportunity lightly. I mean, I'm like, man, I don't even deserve this. And he chose me. He chose you. You know, there's people out there who are looking at us. Because you know why? Because we're representing Christ. And they're looking at us right now. They're looking at us, what we do, what we say, and everything. And, you know, I find it hard, you know, to just come just on a Sunday and, you know, act like everything is okay. And then the rest of the week, you're all jacked up. All jacked up. You know, what you need to do, and this is what you need to do. Paul said that he had to do it like this. He says, I have to buffet myself down daily. I had to put my human fleshly body under subjection. It wasn't easy. My lifestyle, man, it wasn't easy, believe me. All I knew was how to do bad. That's all I knew. I had an image to uphold. I had four brothers underneath me, man, looking at me. I couldn't slip. And everything that I was showing them and teaching them, man, that's why I'm so proud of my brothers today. I thank God, man, but didn't one of them follow my footsteps. Man, because they could have got real ugly. Man, it got
thank
ugly.
You.
Okay. Verse 4 reads, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The same thing, like what I was just saying, man. When you come mourning, and when I say mourning, you know what you have to come mourning over? What do you think?
Your own death.
Well, yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Yeah, that is a good one. But you need to come mourning over your sin, over the life that you've lived. You need to be seriously, truly repentive of what you've done. You can't just come up there and say the sinner's prayer and think everything's all right, because it's not. You just made a declaration. That's all you did. But what have you been doing since then? You see, when God's when you empty yourself and then God fills you, then all of a sudden, verse 6 says, then you will hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. It'll be your lifestyle now. It'll be what you want. It'll be what you hunger for. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you now. And so the Spirit of God is craving for some food. So he can, not human food, but he's craving for some food, man, so he can keep pressing on and keep growing. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to have that hunger, that desire to know more and more and more about him. Can I get an amen?
Yes,
man?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Listen. Now listen here. I'm going to try to make this quick. If you don't come to Christ in these conditions, like being broken over your sin, literally just shattered over what you've done, ashamed of your sin, ashamed of all the stuff that you've done, then you need to ask yourself, am I even a Christian at all? You need to ask yourself that. Okay, I'm going to jump down because I know we're pressing on some time. But if you read down here to Jesus. Okay, 5:13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled on, and trampled under the foot by men." You know what that part is saying? We're the salt of the earth. It's our testimony. It's who we are today, right now, today. You know, what is your life like today? You need to ask yourself that. You need to ask yourself today, who am I today? Who am I? Because, you know, these Pharisees, these scribes, they were all messed up. I have a couple of scriptures here that I wanted to share with you. Man, and excuse me, man, for putting this thing up wrong, man, but that... I'm tired and everything else today, and I just
go ahead.
But, oh, yeah. Anyway, see, God knows our hearts. Just like he knew the hearts of those Pharisees, man. They made this big old front. See, it says this, if you read, turn to 2 Timothy. This is why, you know what, you need to be real. Just got to be real with it. You know, and if you're not there, find time. I was just sharing with the brother, man, you know what you need to do? You just got to find some personal time to get with God. You really do. You know, I don't know what your prayer life is like. I don't know if you're even, 2 Timothy 2:19. There?
Yep.
Anyway, it reads that it says that the Lord knows them that are his. They are those that name the name of Christ, and they depart from iniquity. They turn from their sin. See, God knows. And it'll be evident within your life. If you're truly, truly a born again, this is the word you're going to use as a measure. Say, you'll know. Yeah. You'll know if you are. Because God knows if you really are. Okay, how about Titus 1:16? These are the ones. What, Titus 1:16, write it down and I'll just read it to you. It says that the certain ones, they profess that they know God, but by their works, they deny him. Why? Because they are abominable and they're disobedient. When we read the scripture earlier this day, at the very beginning, it said, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ lives in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. What do you think disqualifies us? What do you think disqualifies us? It's our disobedience that disqualifies us. See, God expects certain things from us. It's a different lifestyle that we have to live now. And see, it's our disobedience, man, that disqualifies us. And you'll know because things, you know, a lot of times, you know, God tries to get your attention. Things ain't going right. And God's trying to get your attention, and you're still doing the things that you want to do. God right now wants us to really take a good look at ourselves, because he doesn't want us. Like I said, I don't want us to be here playing. If some of us are here, man, is not sure, then today after this study's over, maybe you should come to one of the leaders, Pastor Free somebody, and ask him to pray for you. Lead you to say your prayer with you. But when you're at home on your own personal time, you need to find time to get along with God and really talk to him. And really talk to him and be broken before him. I'm telling you. Man, when that happened to me, my life was never the same again. I felt the presence of God come upon my life like never before. Mm-hmm. It was like he says, man, blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted. Man, I had all these tears that I had bottled up in me for years, man, that I just didn't know how to cry. And once I did release them, oh, man, a peace came upon me. Like I said, you have to experience it for yourself. I can sit here and tell you it all day long. You have to have your own personal experience with God. I can sit here and tell you about it, but unless you experience it for yourself, you have to have that experience. You have to have that experience. It's between you and God. I don't know about you, like I said, but I want to get to that place. And I want to do whatever it takes to get there. Okay, I just want to close out, because I had this all messed up, and
that's all right, brother.
And I felt bad.
You did all right, brother.
Because
it's been a while. Come on.
But you know what? This is going to help me out to get me started, because I've been out for a while, and me and my wife had been looking around for churches, and I'm being transparent here. I haven't been getting into my word like I should. I haven't been praying like I should. And this is why I know. And I'm not embarrassed to tell you right here. I'm not faking the funk. I'm becoming transparent, because some of you guys might have the same issue that I have. And you might be faking the funk. God is not one to play with. And God's here to help us. This is why I know that God has given me this message, because he wants us all to get there. You know, he wants us all to get there. I don't want, I'm not going to talk bad about nobody, but I know a lot of different places, man, where it's just like, it's all about them. It's all about them, man. And let me just close out with this scripture right here. If you guys can turn your Bibles to, this is the last scripture, and then we're going to go ahead and close out. And like I said, excuse me for having some rough draft. This is what you call a rough draft. Man, I'm like, man, where am I at? These glasses ain't helping me, man. Let's turn to Romans 12:1. And once again, this is Paul. This is Paul talking to the Romans, man. He's talking to the Jews, man, in Rome at this time. And did you guys get it? Romans 12. Romans 12:1. Lord, forgive me. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay, and this is Paul once again. He says, I beseech you, brethren. In other words, I beg you. I beg you guys. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, there's that word, prove yourself, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, I feel like Paul right now, like, you know what? I'm begging you. The Bible says that It is no longer I that live. It's not no longer you that live. It's Christ who lives in you now. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, I hear people using the scripture for a crutch all the time. Oh, we're just humans. We're just humans. You know, we all fall short of the glory. We're all, you know, we're all sinners. We're all, well, yeah, that's true. But why don't you fight back with another scripture that greater is he who is in thee than he who is of the world. Yeah. You got to remember who you are today. Yeah. Christ lives in us today. Man, God has empowered us today. And you got to believe that. You got to know who you are in Christ today. You can't be walking around like the rest of the world does. And it's hard. It's hard. You got to take a stand. You know what? Jesus said, man, if you be ashamed before me and in front of men, then I'll be ashamed in front of you. You can't be ashamed. We can't be ashamed. You know what? So, like I said, I'm sorry that I was out of order here. I didn't have my message here together.
It's all right.
But I pray that whatever came out, you know, that the Holy Spirit would have moved within your hearts and cause you to do a personal self-examination of yourself. Because I know this message was for me, first of all. And I know that on a daily basis, now every night, just as you lay down in bed, just look at your life. Just look at your life. What did you do today? Or look at it like this. Today is a day that you're exchanging a day of your life for this day. What did you do today? Was it worth it? Did you make it worth that one day? Because it's the day of your life that you're not going to get back. Did you just sit home and watch TV all day long? Or did you sleep it away? Ask yourself. Or did you spend some time with the Holy God? Yeah. Did you go out and try to reach a soul that's lost, that's hurting?
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, did you go out there? Ask yourself those. What I would want you to do, man, when you get home tonight, just get your own personal doctor's tools, your stethoscope and your popsicle stick and your light that you check your ears. And get that stethoscope, man, and put it over your heart, man. And see what's inside there.
That's right.
See what you got inside of your heart. Or take out that popsicle stick and open your mouth wide and look down in there. What words are coming out of your mouth?
Yeah.
What are you ingesting? What are you drinking or eating? What are you saying? You know, or get that light and shine it in your eye. What you looking at? What you watching that you ain't supposed to be watching? You know, or look in your ears. Or what you listening to? What you hearing? You know, or put it on your feet, man, and say, well, where are your feet taking you? Places that you shouldn't be at. Do your own personal self-examination, you guys. Mm-hmm. I want us all to get there.
Yeah.
I want us all to get there. I don't want to be, you know, that's why I like about this church. It's a small church, but I tell you what, man, I'm getting a lot, and I'm not trying to, you know, I don't expect $20 like I'm promoting your church. But if you want to, you can break me off. No. And I'm not saying that, you know, because he's my brother or anything like that either. But I see that, you know what? I know my brother. Like he said, he was a stone cold atheist. Stone cold. And to see the hunger that he has for souls, it's evident. And this is what I'm talking about, the evidence of Christ in your life. See, only you guys know. You know, do you still hunger for worldly music or? Do you still hunger for that nightclub life? Ask yourself this, because if so, man, then you need to do a deeper self-examination. You need to come to that place, man. Don't fake it out. Because I know in the church, yeah, they are the wheat and the tares. But like I said, you know, our days are coming short now. the Lord is coming soon. You seen the law that was passed just the other day. Man, that one hurt me. And I'm like, man, I mean, it's getting close. I don't want to get caught, man, with my hand in the cookie jar, if you will.
That's right.
I want to be prepared.
Amen.
I want to be ready. And so I pray that this message, man, as crooked as it came out, I know that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, man. And when it comes out, man, it says that his word will come in and it'll do his own thing. So I pray that this message here would cause you to do a closer self-examination of yourself on a daily basis, that you would read your word, spend time reading your word. I'm not talking about 10 minutes or go read a Bible scripture. I'm talking about spend time with God. Pray before you get into your word.
That's right.
Pray. And that's that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth and nothing but the truth. All of it. And if you have trouble, write, mark it down and go ask somebody or go, you know, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved.
Yes.
Study. You know, because, you know, man, we have a high calling, man. God has called us, man, into his marvelous light out
that's
of
right.
that darkness.
That's
and
right.
so I want to be well prepared, well equipped if I have to go and share with somebody. You know, so read your word. Spend time in prayer.
Yes.
I'm not talking about our Father who wart in heaven, how do that and get up and you're gone. Man, I remember in the ranch, bro, an hour straight. I'm like, huh? An hour? Man, I didn't know what to pray about. And then I'm like, what the heck, man? An hour? Oh, I've fallen asleep, man. But when I connected with the Lord, oh my God, an hour wasn't even enough.
That's right.
An hour wasn't even enough.
That's right.
And so read your word. Get along. Start hanging around with people, man, who are Christ-like influence in your life.
Mm.
You need it. That's why, you know, I'm glad that, you know, he's doing two or three things. That, you know, I'm starting to get myself involved. Because I'll be honest, I didn't know where I was going to go. And I was lost. I was walking around like a sheep with no head. You know, and I felt bad because I have my wife and my kids, too. And, you know, I'm the lead. And they're following the lead. And I was like, man, God, help me, Lord. I need to find a place where I know that they're teaching sound doctrine. And you know, that Jesus is being preached, man. And lives are getting changed and stuff like that. I don't want to go where you have to do shows and gimmicks and everything else. All of a sudden, man, it's not about Jesus no more. You know what happens when you do all these things? And, you know, so they have their place. But when that becomes the main thing, then it's all about man. It's like you don't allow the Holy Spirit do what he has to do. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work.
That's right.
So be careful. You know, I just want to, once again, I just want to thank God for this time. I know I might run a little long, but I want to thank my brother Fee, and I thank you guys for your patience. And let me just say a word of prayer before we go down. Father in heaven, right now, I thank you once again, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word, Lord. And Lord, if there's people out there listening tonight and you don't know the Lord, I pray that this message tonight was for you. And if you don't know Christ, if you would just say this simple prayer just to get you started on your journey. And that's all this prayer is, just to get you, just to show God that you're serious about making this transition. And you just tell him that, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight, a wretched sinner that I am, asking that you would forgive me of all my sins and that you would cleanse me of all my filth and unrighteousness, Lord. And I come to you with a sincere heart, a genuine heart, asking that you would take control of my life from this day forward. Now, I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord. And I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my King. Mm-hmm. And so I ask you to come into my heart.
Yes.
now. And let this be a day that I remember that I embarked on my journey with you. And Lord, I'm sorry for all that I've done. And I give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Brother G right now. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
Lord, we just thank you, God, for my brother. And Lord, I've seen his life closer than many in this room. And I'm so thankful for the hand of God that's upon him. I thank you, God, for
his
family.
Jesus.
I thank you, God, that his children are raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, God, that you have led them to amazing grace. Because, Lord, it's your kingdom. And there's room at the cross. And so, God, bless Brother G. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue, Lord, to just give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of your word. And, Lord, I know, God, there's a people yet to be reached through his ministry. And so, God, we just thank you, Lord, for Stacy. We thank you for Joel. We thank you for Gianna. We thank you for Brother G. Bless them tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Yeah.